You are listening to a recorded sermon from Crescent Valley Baptist Church. We are a church that's committed to biblical preaching, missions outreach, and caring for our families. We pray that the teaching on this recording will draw you into a more committed relationship with our redeeming Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, let's join in on today's sermon.
It's good to be with you guys today. If you got a copy of God's Word, and I hope that you do, we're going to get right into it. We're going to be in Psalm 23 this morning. Psalm 23, that's where we're going to find ourselves this morning. Now, I wonder if I can get a witness. The Lord's been good and gracious, hasn't He? He's been good and gracious. And I'll say this, He's especially good and gracious to His sheep. He's good and gracious to His sheep. Now, before the foundations of the world, God intended for us to be like sheep. You are like sheep. And many of us are like sheep without a shepherd, and that's why Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost, and He came to bring us into His flock and to make us one of His sheep. Now, there's a distinction in the Word of God between sheep and wolves. You are either a sheep or you are a wolf. Now, it's an imagery. There's no in-between. You can't be on one side of the fence or on the other. You are either a part of the flock of God or you're an enemy of God. Where are you at? You're either an enemy, you've rebelled against Him, you've sinned against Him, or you are forgiven and you are adopted into the family of God. Now, I want you guys to search your hearts this morning and say, where are you at today? Are you a wolf in sheep's clothing? Maybe you come to church, you play religion, you look like a Christian, but inwardly you're dead in your sin and you're separated from God. But here in Psalm 23, my purpose today, what I want to do, is just to simply encourage you and hopefully point out some insights for how the Lord has been good and gracious. And that's my subject this morning, is good and gracious. Now, Psalm 23, before we dive in, this specific psalm in particular is a very well-known psalm. I'm sure many of you have memorized, or at least parts of it, have memorized Psalm 23. And we know it by heart, right? I remember the first time I ever memorized, it was one of the first passages I ever memorized as a kid growing up in Awanus. And I loved it. My dad would help us memorize it, and it has been a very encouraging passage of Scripture to me. Now, the author, if you look at Psalm 23, just right above verse 1, it says, a psalm of David. Now, we know because of that, David authored this psalm. Now, some speculate, and we can go with me a little bit in your sanctified imagination. Some believe that David was a young man when he wrote this, that as he was out keeping watch over his sheep, you guys know the story. Before David was anointed king over Israel, he was a shepherd. He was the youngest in his family. He was kind of the runt of the litter. He wasn't very big. He was kind of small. But God did mighty things through the life of David. And here we see some believe that he was probably watching over his sheep as he wrote this psalm. But others believe, and what I tend to believe, is that he was an older man and he's looking back over the years of his life and he is seeing how God has been good and has been gracious to him. And I believe some of you guys can attest to that, that God has been good and gracious to you. Now, this psalm in particular, it's what's interesting is how it follows Psalm 22. Naturally, we don't have to think very hard about that, right? So previously to Psalm 22, we see despair and ruin in David's life. He's going through tragedy. He's going through depression. He's going through some pretty hard stuff. And then all of a sudden, Psalm 23, we see light at the end of the tunnel. We see something that we as believers can grasp a hold of, and we can cling to these truths. Now, in this psalm in particular is very personal to me. I remember it wasn't that long ago, just probably a month, a little bit over a month, went through one of the hardest moments in my life. And I remember sitting there in that tragedy when I was in the valley. It was wide, it was deep. And I remember God put Psalm 23 on my heart. And I remember as I was remembering that text, and the Lord just kept reading over it and saying, God, where are you? Are you here? Are you present? Do you feel the pain that we're going through? And this psalm is what He pointed me to in particular. And so I'm excited to preach it to you this morning. I've never preached it before, so I'm excited to be in it together. But there in Psalm 23, verse 1, let's pick up there. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Lord, we just come before you now, and Lord, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful, and Lord, I pray that you would be with me in this time. Lord, I pray for anyone in here who doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord, that today they would be saved. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and it's in your name I pray. Amen. Now, what I want to do before we dive into the points I want to talk to you about today, I want to stand a little bit on the front porch of this, okay? Before we make our way into the house, we're just going to stand on the front porch. There's a few things you need to notice about this, verses 1 through 3 and verses 5 and 6. What do you notice about this psalm and the structure that David is writing it? You get two mountaintops. In verses 1 through 3, it's good. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Boy, he leads me beside green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Man, he restores my soul. And sure, and then you go down to verses 5 and 6, and man, I get a table in the presence of my enemies. My cup runs over. His love and kindness will never leave me, and I'm going to be with him for eternity. You get two mountaintops when life is good. Man, you think about it. Think about it right now. Some of you may be on that mountaintop. Man, life is good. You just look and you see, man, God is so good to us right now. But then what you notice is in between the two mountaintops, there's a valley. And oftentimes, if you've ever been to the Rocky Mountains, you'll see when the mountains, they do this and this and this, and there's always a valley. There's always a valley. Let me say this, church. It's not a matter if the valley comes. It's a matter of when the valley comes. The valley will come. You cannot stand on the mountaintop forever. And here's, let me say this, here in verse 4, is we see that valley. Now, I wish, if I was God, I'm glad I'm not, but if I was, I would not include verse 4. I think we would all like for life to just be bliss and rainbows and we would all like flower. You know, this everything is just good. Life isn't hard. But listen, we live in a broken and fallen world where there will be valleys. But God is still good in the valley. So let's look here. And first, the first thing I want to show you, the first truth that we see is that he is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd in verses 1 through 4. Well, how is he good? Well, look at verse 1. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, I want to stop there for a second. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. He doesn't say, I think he's my shepherd, or I hope he's my shepherd, or sometimes I doubt whether he's my shepherd. David has some confidence and some spine to say, no, the Lord is my shepherd. You see the confidence and assurance that David has in his salvation. It's important this morning. Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that if you were to die today, you would be in heaven with him for eternity? Can you say with David, the Lord is my shepherd? Or are you saying, I think he is. Some days I hope he is. I don't really know for sure if he's my shepherd. But let me tell you this morning, he's a good God. He's a saving God. And you can know without a shadow of a doubt if you are indeed a part of his flock. Because he is the good shepherd. Well, how is he good? Well, we see that in verse 1, that we see the confidence and the assurance of David's salvation. As I've said before, I made the distinction between sheep and wolves. But look at verse 1. He says, I shall not want. Well, how is he the good shepherd? Well, first, he's a providing shepherd. He's a providing shepherd. I think if we were to look at your life, here's what it means. He is satisfied with what God has given him. Now, here in our Western culture, that doesn't make much sense. Satisfaction is always something that we seem to be lacking. We get a taste of the things of the world. We get a taste of what it's like to have good finances. We get a taste of what it's like to get comfortable, and then we start thinking, I'm satisfied in the things of this world, but what David is saying here, I may not have everything I wish, but I am not in need of anything because the Lord has been good. The Lord is, He is a providing shepherd this morning. I may not have everything I wish, but I have everything I need. Well, let's think about your life for a second. We live here in America where we're pretty blessed. What has God provided you with? He's provided with you a house. He's given you money. He's given you a church family. He's given you children. He's given you lungs to breathe. He's given you eyes to see. He's given you a nose to smell. He's given you legs to walk. He's given you feet to stand, hands to feel, a mind to think. He has been good to you. And you can go, I can give you list after item of how God has provided for you. He is providing. He won't stop providing. He always will provide for those who are in His flock. I can give you testimony. There's been times when my wife and I first got married. We're still figuring stuff out. And, you know, it hadn't been very long. Pray for us, all right? She puts me in my place, I'll tell you. I need it. And so when we first got married, when I was a bachelor, I spent everything like I wanted to. You know, you don't think about it. And, you know, I want a truck. Yeah, go buy a truck. You know, you want some new boots? Fine, I'll go buy some new boots. Then you find out how broke you really are. And I found out, man, you got to have a savings account. I didn't know what that was. But I remember there would be some times where we were figuring out, like, man, how are we going to pay bills? What are we going to do? And all of a sudden, it's like the Lord just, Lord money, you guys know what I'm talking about. You get a check in the mail, and you don't even know who it's from or how it got there. And you're like, man, God's good. God's been good to us. Think about your children. You know, children are a blessing from the Lord. Amen. Yeah, you know, yeah, huh? And some of y'all woke up this morning, you know exactly what I'm talking about. On your way to church, you get in the car, you start fighting them, and they start crying. But hey, they're a blessing, aren't they? But blessings come in all shapes and forms. But the Bible says that they are arrows in your hand. They're arrows in your hand. They're meant to be launched out, to be sharpened. But children are a blessing from the Lord. God has provided you with so much. Think about this church home where we get to come and be a part of a church family where the word of God is preached, where we have a pastor who loves us, and you get to be a part of a small group where people who walk through life with you and people who you can cling to, people who you can run to when life gets hard, and God has been good and gracious to you. Well, hey, how else is He good? Well, He's not only a providing shepherd, but He's also a tender caring shepherd. He's a tender caring shepherd. Look at verse 2. He says this, He makes me lie down in green pastures, and He leads me beside still waters. Now, I want you to notice something, because we're dealing with Eastern culture here, okay? We're not, no, this isn't America. We're talking about Israel. And over in Eastern culture, sheep would not eat anything that was dead, particularly grass. And they wouldn't drink from rushing waters. I don't know if you know this, but sheep are stubborn. And so the shepherd would have to be, he would know where the green pastures were, and he would know where the springs were. And so what you see here, I want you to notice some of the imagery. He says green pastures. Well, think about it right now. It's springtime, and everything's starting to turn green, and pretty soon that field's just going to be green with grass, and it's green pastures. It's a picture of nourishment. It's a picture of long lasting. And ultimately, what is the food that God has given us? What is the bread of life? His word. He's given us His word. It's green pastures for your soul. There's not a thing in here that will not nourish you. It's nourishment for your soul. It's long lasting. It's green pastures. Once you dive into His word and you start to see what He has to say, you're not going to go down and bite into a rock or something. No, because it's green pastures, it's long-lasting, it's timeless. You know, there are many who believe that the Word of God is not relevant today, or that some believe that it's just, you know, it's out of date, it's outdated. Well, God doesn't change, and His Word doesn't change. He's a tender, caring shepherd, and if you want a word from the Lord, you're not going to get it from a televangelist, you're going to get it right here. When you open His Word, He speaks. When you open this book, you're going to get a word from God, and it's green pastures for your soul. But notice also what He says. Before we go on to the quiet waters, I want to say this. You know, you think about this world, you think about the green pastures of this world, but what happens when seasons change? Well, the grass goes dormant, or it dies. It'll just turn, you know, just not green, I don't even know, yellow. It turns yellow. And when seasons change, the grass goes dormant. But let me tell you this. The Word of God is green pastures no matter what season you go through. It doesn't matter if it's winter in your life. It doesn't matter if it's summer. It doesn't matter if it's spring. It doesn't matter if it's fall. His Word will always be like green pastures for your soul where you can go feast on it. But let me ask you this. If that's true about His Word, which it is, why would you go graze into the pastures of this world? Why would you just run and go graze into the pastures of this world? If indeed His Word's green, it's nourishment for your soul, why would you run to the things of this world for information? Why would you run to see what Oprah thinks or what whoever, I don't even know who's on TV now, who whatever they think. No, you run to His Word because the things of this world, the Word of God says this, the grass will wither, the flower will fall, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. His Word remains forever, not the things of this world, but His Word. Notice also what he says. He says, he leads me beside the still waters. Now, again, we're dealing with Eastern culture here. It's not rushing waters. Why does he add that detail of quiet or still waters? As I said before, the sheep would not drink from rushing waters, but they needed the calm and quiet waters. I can remember as a kid, we were living in Inola. My dad was a pastor up there. And every now and then, during the summer, while dad was at work or out doing something, my mom would take us over to Siloam Springs, Arkansas. And we'd go over there, and you guys know the springs as the water comes up. It comes up from the ground. And actually, it's interesting how springs are made when they form by rain. And when it rains, they get into these underwater canyons that you just can't see unless you get under there. And the canyons are deep, they're wide, and they're full. And when a hole is created, it shoots the water up, and that's where you get a spring. And I remember going swimming there, and I was just wondering, where's this water source coming from? And it was deep. It was still. It's a picture of peace. It's a picture of rest. It's a picture of rest and peace for your soul. He's a tender, caring shepherd. He doesn't lead you to rushing waters where you're just going to drown. But let me tell you this. He wants to give you rest this morning. Jesus said this, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. I will give you rest. Come to Jesus, and He will give you rest. He's a tender, caring shepherd. And I remember those springs as a kid, they were deep, they were wide, and they were fresh water. And that's how it is in the Word of God. It's deep, it's wide, it's still, it's peaceful in His presence. In the presence of the Lord, there is rest for your soul. You're not going to find rest for your soul whenever you go around searching in the world. But look at this. He's also a restoring shepherd. Look at verse 3. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. And it reminds me of this. And maybe, have you ever found yourself there in the restoration of the Lord? Maybe you've gone, maybe you wandered for a season. Maybe you were out like the prodigal son. You went and squandered your inheritance, and you were out rolling around in the pigsty of the world. You were rolling around and getting dirty, getting muddy. And then what happens? It says you came to your senses, and the prodigal son got up out of the pigsty. Notice how he got up. He didn't just continue to roll around in it, but he eventually got up out of it, and he went back to the father. Well, did the father turn him away? Did the father say, hey, you got to work off what you did? Did he just give him the law, or did he give him grace? You see, he's a restoring father. He's a restoring shepherd. And when the son came home, he was welcomed back with open arms. He was welcomed back into the presence of the father. He's a restoring shepherd. Maybe some of you in here today, and you find yourself separated. You find yourself running away from God. You find yourself back in addiction. You find yourself back in depression. You find yourself caught up in that sin that just keeps knocking at your door. And you can't find the strength to just lock the door and keep it shut, but you open it. But let me tell you this, he's not going to give you law. He's going to give you grace. He's a restoring shepherd for his flock. He's a restoring shepherd. You know, some of you probably grew up in homes where your parents or, you know, anytime you did something wrong, it was just, bear with me for a second, okay? But maybe you grew up in homes or I don't know what your home life is like, but it was all law. There was no grace. Anytime you did something wrong, you have to do this to please me. You have to do this to make things right. It doesn't work that way with God. It doesn't work that way with God. He doesn't function like we do, but he's a restoring, gracious shepherd for you. But what else is he? Look at verses 3-4. How else is he good? He's a guiding shepherd. He's a guiding and leading shepherd. He says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Here's a picture. He guides you to holiness. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are called, therefore, to live a holy, sanctified life in Jesus Christ. You're not called to just go wander and live in the world, but you are called to holiness. You're called to righteousness. And listen, a true sheep who is a part of the flock of God will desire to live holy. If you are not desiring holiness, I question whether you've been saved. Because someone who's truly tasted and seen that the Lord is good, you will want to live a holy, God-honoring life. If your life does not reflect his word, and you're saying, you can't claim Jesus and not follow him. You can't claim Jesus, and that's popular in Oklahoma, that's popular in our area, that's popular in America. Well, I'm a Christian, but I don't even follow him. I don't even obey his commandments. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you truly love Jesus, you will really want to do what he says. That's because why? Sheep follow the shepherd. If you claim to be a sheep and you're not following, you're not a sheep. It's that simple. He leads you into holiness. He leads you in paths of righteousness. And let me tell you, I believe the Christians in this room, you can attest to this. It brings joy to your heart to serve the Lord. It brings joy and pleasure to your soul whenever you give glory to God and you honor his name. But listen, he says this, for his name's sake, you do it for his glory. It brings pleasure and honor to us to give glory to the shepherd. That's our greatest good, is to give glory to God. But I want you to notice, before we move on to verses 4-6, he says this. There's a word I want you to see. Two letters, H-E, he. He. What does it say? He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores. He leads me for his name's sake. Here's something you need to draw from this. The things that I just told you, provision, restoring, tender caring, leading and guiding, no one else can do that for you except Jesus Christ. You can try to run to relationships. You can try to even run to your spouse and make them like God in your life, but your spouse ain't going to be able to do what Jesus can do for you. Let me say this, just because your children start acting better, they're not going to be able to do what Jesus can do for you. Students, you run to girlfriend after boyfriend and you try to seek satisfaction and fulfillment and hoping that, oh, they're prettier than the last one or he's stronger than the last one. And hey, let me say this. They can't do what Jesus can do for you. It says he does it. And notice also, you can't do it for yourself. It doesn't say you do it. It says he does it. Only he can do what we just described. Only he can do that. And ultimately, who is the good shepherd? Let me say this. It's Jesus Christ. He said, I am the good shepherd. Psalm 23 is a picture. Draw a straight line from Psalm 23 to the Gospels, and you will see Jesus is the good shepherd. He even claimed it, that he was the good shepherd. And his sheep know his voice. I want to show you how we're still on this subject of he's a guiding shepherd, he's a leading shepherd, but there's a false teaching because now we're exiting out of the mountaintop and we're about to enter the valley. Some people believe that God ceases to be good when the valley comes in their life. Let me say this, God does not cease to be good when the valley comes. It's in the valley where you learn more about God than you do on the mountaintop. James chapter 1 says this, count it all joy, brothers, when you experience trials of various kinds. But I want to stand on the front porch because here's a verse 4, because the truth is this, is that God will lead you into the valley sometimes. You know, here's what is not a valley. Whenever you do something you shouldn't do, you get in trouble. That's not God leading you into a trial. That's just you suffering the consequences of your decisions. But when God leads you into the valley, you're going to know. When certain things take place, but look at what he says. I like what the ESV says. It says, even when, or even though, even when I walk through the valley. Now, let me ask you this. That's a blank space that David is giving us. What is the even when of your life? When I say, even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? Is it a divorce? Even when my spouse serves me divorce papers? Even when my son or daughter comes to me and they tell me they're a drug addict? Even when I find out that my spouse is cheating on me? Even when there's a miscarriage, we lost the baby. Even when I lose my job. Even when I have to file bankruptcy. Even when friends stab me in the back and they betray me. What does it say? In the very middle of it all, in the valley, David does this strategically. He says, you are with me. When the even winds of life come, he's with you. He doesn't just run away from you. Let me say this. When people move out of your life, because the truth is, whenever hard times come, people just see that you'll find out who your friends really are. You find out who your friends really are. You find out who really loves you. You find out who's really got your back. You find out who's really for you when the valley comes. But when other people move out, God moves in. And when he moves in, he ain't moving out. He ain't moving out. When he moves in, he ain't going nowhere. His word says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm with you. I'm with you in the mountaintop. I'm with you in the valley. I'm with you when it's good. I'm with you when it's bad. I won't ever leave you. I will never forsake you. You are with me when the valley comes. And some of you find yourself here this morning. You're in the valley. Life is hard. Things are bad. But let me tell you this. He's with you. He's with you. But also notice what he says. The shadow of death. You see, sometimes in the valley, death sounds good, doesn't it? Sometimes you find yourself when depression comes and it's so deep, you find yourself in so much pain, you find yourself in such betrayal that death even sounds good to you. But death is just a shadow for the believer. See, shadows can't hurt you. The shadow of a knife can't stab you. The shadow of a gun can't fire at you. The shadow of a fist can't hit you. Shadows don't hurt you. But where there is a shadow, there must be light. And where's the light? You are with me. Shadows won't hurt you. Now remember, Eastern culture, as they're walking through the valley, the shepherd's leading his sheep, and it's there in the valley, predators would be around the valley, awaiting to jump onto the sheep and attack the flock. He's a guiding shepherd, but he's also an ever-present shepherd, even when it gets hard. But he's also a defending shepherd. In verse 4, he's an ever-present shepherd, for you are with me, but he's also a defending shepherd. It says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, if you've ever seen a shepherd's staff, it's long and it's got a hook on the end. I was going to steal one from Pastor Brooks, but he didn't let me. He was scared. I would be scared. I would show you my ninja skills today, but I ain't going to do that. That'll have to be another time. Amen. All right. But if you know the shepherd's staff, it's got a hook on the end. And as the predators would come, he would attack the predator away from the sheep. But then when the sheep wanted to leave, he would pull them back in with a hook. Sometimes in the valley, it's easy to want to leave. It's easy to want to quit when things get hard. And that's just our culture, isn't it? When things get hard, we just run away. When marriage gets hard, well, let's just throw the divorce on the table. When kids start acting up, adoption sounds nice. There's Boys Ranch Town in Edmond. I know we got some people in here who used to serve there. My dad threatened to send me there when I acted up. He's like, boy, I'll send you to Boys Ranch Town. You'll be over there scooping up poop or something. I'm like, praise God, that sounds nice. Adoption sounds nice when your kids start acting up. You just want to quit. It's even, students even do this. Man, when high school gets hard, I'll just drop out. I'll just quit. In the valley, sometimes it's easy, it's even tempting to want to quit. Well, when you want to leave, who's there to pull you back in? Jesus Christ. He's the good shepherd. And he pulls you back in. But then also notice this. I remember when I was a kid, this just came to me. When I was a kid, my dad used to love to run. When he would run, I would often follow along in my bike. I remember one day we were running behind our house when we were living on Inola. A water moccasin comes out onto the road. And we stop. And that water moccasin, I'm talking it, opened its mouth, and that cotton mouth started showing, and he started charging after me, and I froze because I don't know what to do, and I froze. I'm like, I'm about to get bitten by this snake. And I kid you not, my dad ain't that big of a guy, but he's strong. And he's strong. He used to be a roughneck out in the oil rig, and he just picks my bike up and swings me around and puts me behind his back. What was he doing? He was defending me. He was fighting for me, and the Lord fights for you. The Lord defends you. The Lord, whenever predators come, whenever Satan comes to attack, temptation comes, who's there to defend you? I'm going to defend you. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. But not only is he a good shepherd, but let me say this. I'm almost done. This is my last thing I want to share with you. He's a gracious host. He's a gracious host. Now, if verses 1 through 4 weren't enough, I mean, we've saw that he's good. We've seen what he's done in your life and what he does for you, but it just keeps getting better. And when you're in the valley, let me say this, the structure of the psalm, when you're in the valley for the believer, there's always a mountaintop on the other side. And it may not be here on earth, but it may be in heaven. There's light awaiting for you in heaven. And see, God calls us to suffer here on earth, but there's always a mountaintop awaiting us. And that may be here on earth. He may get you out of it, or that may be in heaven, but you suffer well. But let me say this. He's a gracious host. Look, we're going to zoom through this. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He has set the table. How is he a gracious host? He set the table. And there at the table, there's a feast, there's a banquet. And he says, in the presence of my enemies. What does he mean? When God sets the table, the enemies are outside knocking out the door. It's a picture of you're in there and you're just sitting there all peacefully eating at the table of the Lord. And the enemies are outside knocking on the door. And they're just eating there and they're chilling. They're peaceful. They're not worried about what's going on out there, and neither should you. When you sit in the presence of the Lord and when you sit at his table, you don't worry about what's going on in politics. You don't worry about what's going on out there. We love lost people. We want to reach and seek those who are lost. But you don't worry about what's going on out there. Why? Because you have a seat at the king's table. Why would you try to sit at another table when the king has prepared the table? He has set the table. What else has he done? He anoints you. Verse 5, he says, you anoint my head with oil. Now, you know how sheep are. Whenever they fight, they butt heads. And oftentimes when they butt heads, they get scars, they get wounds. And that shepherd would come over and he'd pour that oil on his head. And it would satisfy, it would heal, seek to heal the wounds. He'd bandage it up. Let me say this. He's a gracious host because he heals your wounds. Some of you come in here today, you got wounds that haven't been healed. And whenever someone says something about it, whenever someone pricks something in your life and they flick that wound, it hasn't been healed, what happens? You get angry. You get mad. You get frustrated. You're like, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. That was a hard time in my life. I don't want to talk about it. It hurts. But the Lord heals your wounds. You can try to seek other oil from other places, but let me say this. He's a gracious host and he will heal your wounds. And he will use your scars to glorify him. He will use that which hurt you to bring glory to his name. But also, his kindness and goodness will never leave you, and you will be with him in eternity. You see, here on earth, there's valleys, there's mountaintops, but it's a picture of his faithfulness. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, His love, his kindness, his goodness will never leave me. It's going to be with me forever. And it's not only going to be with me here on earth, it's going to be with me in heaven. And when I go to heaven, I'm going to be with him forever. And when he comes down to rapture the church, when he comes down to bring the new heavens and the new earth, what's going to happen? I'm still going to be with him. He ain't going to leave me. He ain't going to abandon me. He ain't going to turn his back on me. He ain't going to betray me. And when others will, he won't, because I'm going to be with him forever. I'm going to be with him in heaven. And his kindness and goodness will follow me even there to the other side. As we close today, he's a good shepherd and a gracious host. He's a good shepherd and a gracious host. And the good and the bad, he's good and gracious. He will never cease to be good and gracious. He will always be good and gracious. Even in the sufferings of this life, we are his sheep in need of a shepherd, and that is ultimately Jesus Christ. But let me tell you this. I want to close with this. Some of you come in here today, and you are in need of a provider. Come to Jesus. If you're in need of rest and refreshment, come to Jesus. If you're in need of restoration, come to Jesus. If you're in need of righteousness and salvation, come to Jesus. If you're in need of a friend, come to Jesus. If you're in need of a defender, come to Jesus. If you want a seat at the table, come to Jesus. If you want wounds to be healed in your life, come to Jesus. If you long to be satisfied, come to Jesus. If you're desperate for love and goodness, come to Jesus. If you're in need of an eternal home in heaven, you come to Jesus. Come to Jesus this morning. When we give this invitation, you come. You leave your seat. You come talk to one of our counselors. You don't care about what everyone else thinks. You come to Jesus. You surrender your life to him. Come. You come. You come to Jesus, because he's the only one who will get you through the valley. And he who leads you into it will lead you out of it. You come to Jesus. Last two things. Here it is. Dear Christian, don't forget your shepherd. Don't forget your shepherd, and you trust him wherever he leads you. He will lead you to places you've never thought you would go, but you trust him and you don't forget him. Second thing, you be satisfied in him alone. You be satisfied in him alone. And I'll close with this. Look at this. He says, my cup runs over. He said, you know what that's a picture of? What God has done in your life should affect other people. What God has done in your life, you should go tell other people about what Jesus has done for you.
Thanks for listening today. I'd like to take this opportunity to let you know that the most important decision you will ever make is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And that's something that you can do right now wherever you are by asking Christ to forgive you of your sin and to come into your heart and life and to be your Lord and Savior. The Bible says that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
If this recording or anything else has brought up questions for you about a relationship with Jesus, feel free to contact us at 918-456-6590 or find us online at cvbc.org. God bless you and have a great day.